This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Tass. Paul is on panel. Our special guest is Lord Mayor Sally Capp. Good morning, Sally.
Officially good morning.
Officially good morning.
It's lovely to be here.
Officially good morning.
So good to see you, though.
We really do feel the city starting to change. We're probably going to talk about some of the pedestrian data, etc. But it just reminds us how we bounce off each other, that wonderful serendipity that happens when you walk down the street and bump into people. And obviously, as more people come back, we really feel that energy around the city, and we've missed it so much. So fingers crossed
make a difference, don't you think?
Huge.
I mean, seeing people in person as opposed to dealing with them over a screen or a phone, it's a different experience.
Well, people are energy givers, and Zoom just doesn't give you the portal through which to feel all those emotions and that
especially
energy,
when you work from a laptop like I do. And by the end of it, you know, you're looking at postage size stamp faces and trying to read the non-verbals and people's facial expressions can be a bit more challenging. I find also the online discussions are much more formal.
They really are, and you don't know when to interject, and it becomes almost transactional. It's your turn, then it's your turn, and so getting some of that banter going. And, of course, last year with the election, the challenge of trying to communicate and connect and really understand what people were feeling passionate about and share policies and ideas was even more difficult on the on the Zoom and using those sorts of platforms. Mm. But the great news is...
You won.
You're so good. I was going to say, we don't have to rely on that anymore.
No.
We are coming back out, and that funny thing about humanity, we actually love each other.
So what are you seeing in the city? I mean, what's the vibe like at the moment?
Well, look, I have to say, we are coming off a really low base. You remember in the depths of lockdown, we were 90% down on our pedestrian foot traffic. This week, pleasingly, during the week, as you can imagine, workers coming back has been slow. People are cautious, and we've had restrictions on numbers of people that can be back in the workplace. But we did see an uplift this week in weekdays, Monday to Friday. We started to get up to about 50% of normal year-on-year traffic. We did see that come back down again towards the end of the week when we had the blip, and we know that we have that uplift to 75% of the workforce on pause at the moment. We hope it's going to be a very temporary pause. And it's weird when you get so excited just to see people in suits carrying coffees down the street. It's those sorts of images of Melbourne that we've missed, and we're starting to see it come back.
You know, it evokes a happier time, but, you know, the city is starting to come back, and, okay, there's a bit of a pause in people coming back into the office. And I think one of the challenges there, Sally, is, you know, you read a lot of articles written about it, a lot of surveys, that people don't want to come back into the office full-time. So many of them, not everyone, but a lot of them are now used to working from home, and particularly, I think, those that have reasonable facilities and stuff to work at home. You know, for Tass and myself, who have a study that's dedicated to that, not everyone has that. So the thought of actually going into an office, whilst the interaction is great, not everyone wants to do it. So, City of Melbourne workers, what sort of percentage have you got back, you know, so far?
Well, we've been adhering to the restrictions, so 25% and 50%. So our team have been really terrific at coming back. I think the other challenge about coming back is in workplaces, we need to have all that social distancing. So, of course, numbers can be limited. I was talking to one of the accounting firms this week, and they can normally have about 430 people in their office in Docklands, but with the social distancing, they can only have 180. So they have a booking system on who's coming in, and they have been full every day since they've been allowed to come back. So those stories are very encouraging, and as I said, we just hope that the restrictions can keep easing. Mm. I mean, Friday, first time around Australia, not one case of community transmission. Mm. We've got the hope and positivity of the vaccine coming through, and we need to just keep encouraging people to come into the city, get over some of that
This is the Liberal vaccine, isn't it? The one that the Minister for Health, when he posted, we got another 10 million of Pfizer, but it had the little Liberal emblem in the...
It
did, in the top left-hand
corner. Are you serious?
It did.
Politicising public policy?
Surely not. Sally's not touching that.
Not happy about those.
But I've walked into enough of those, I'm staying way away.
Sally, it's interesting what you say, because some of the anecdotal conversations that I'm picking up, and I stress it's only anecdotal, is that there's still a bit of reluctance amongst office workers to come back into the city. Hmm. Concerns around use of public transport, concerns around how they would actually have to conduct themselves in the office, concerns around getting into lifts. You know, lifts still have limits on how many people can have in them. So if you have two lifts servicing a 10-storey building and you can only have two people in the lift at a time, it actually slows the process down. Conversely, I've also heard of people who are saying that they actually don't want to go back to the office anymore. And I've got one of those at home, as it turns out. my very partner, who now has a stand-up desk and a lovely lamp and a proper seat and, you know, surrounded by nice things. And in fact, all of his staff actually are based overseas. So he never physically sees them anyway, except for the odd international trip, which obviously won't happen for a while. So for somebody like Ian, there is no difference in going into the office or working from home, because he's basically on Zoom or on the phone anyway.
And plus he can make you a coffee mid-morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, don't push it, Macca.
Let's not get carried away.
I think we absolutely acknowledge that the way that we work has changed, and it will be different, but different doesn't necessarily mean bad either. So we've been pushing for flexible working for decades. We were talking about it when I started many, many years ago now, and COVID has accelerated. I mean, we know in our workforce pre-COVID about 37% of our team were set up to work from home. Now 85% are set up to work from home. So big investments made in technology to enable people to do that. And many other businesses have done the same thing. Of course, we want to welcome as many people back as possible, but we also know that there are many others that weren't working in the city previously that are looking forward to the opportunity of finding some space and coming in. And I think we've got to be really open to that, and we've got to be excited about new businesses, new industries and sectors, and how we go about attracting those into the city. Look at it as an opportunity.
Sally, we've had a message here from one of our listeners who says lovely things about you, but apart from that, the lovely Melina says that for the first time she's been to the theatre and MTC production in a long time. What's happening with the arts? What's your, you know, what are you picking up, and what's the council's role in facilitating, you know, returning of live music events and theatre and galleries and so forth?
Well, look, it's actually a great question to segue, because we are the most impacted municipality in Australia, which is logical. And within that, our arts sector are one of the most impacted as well. So I really feel for the incredible situation that so many of our artists have found themselves in without work. I did go to the opening of the first theatre, the Comedy Theatre, Come From Away, started Thursday week ago. Absolutely brilliant. And people were just so excited to be back in a theatre and to be able to appreciate artists and their performance. And I think there are about 10 rounds of applause and clapping and more at the end. And it's those sorts of experiences that are so important. We need to encourage more and more people to come in and support our artists. But, for example, Live Music Week, which normally goes for a week, funnily, is Live Music Week extended this year. Started in November, it goes through till the end of this month. Lots of performances that people can go and see.
We're going to something tomorrow night, actually.
Oh, what are you going to say?
I can't remember.
Anyway.
It's a jazz thing. It's
Jazz.
And we are, of course, we're booked. There's a limited number of tickets and we bought them in advance and we just thought this is going to be our foray back into it again and a way of trying to support the arts and, of course, a festival that we love.
Now, so let's make the effort.
Now, I just sent my local member, Peter Khalil, he tweeted this morning that he's going to be at the local Coles at a certain time and to meet his constituents. And I replied back to him that I was sorry I couldn't be there, Peter, because I'll be on air. And he said, next time I'll come on air with you. There you go. So he wants to come on. I just want to we're going to go to a break. Quickly, a message from one of our regular listeners. And he said to me, Macca, you said you respect Bev and Bernie's two Liberal House MPs, you respect their decision. And then I say it's bigotry. Perhaps respect is the wrong word. I understand and acknowledge their position. Respect is not the right word. Because
How can you understand?
Well,
explain that.
Well, I do understand, Tass, that people have a view and they're entitled to a view no matter how alien that might
democracy.
Be. Yeah, no matter how alien that might be.
No. Respecting people's views is different to understanding their view.
Well,
how do you understand that somebody can have bigoted view?
I don't. Again, let me just say I acknowledge they have a view that's different to mine. How's that?
Yes, you can do that, absolutely. But to understand is a little bit challenging.
Well, I do understand it. I understand stupidity quite well. I don't respect it, so I use the wrong word, 317.
And what about this message from Luke from Yarraville, Macca? Read that out.
Yes. Sorry, Sally. We're being a bit...
Well, there's a lot to celebrate today.
So this is from Luke from Yarraville. My local MP voted against the bill. Her name is Catherine Cummings, who's a member of a family with long political connections in Yarraville for over 100 years. I live in the Inner West. This is a very ethnically diverse area, with, I would guess, a high proportion of LGBTIQ folk. For me, it was a huge lesson in how easy it is for rights to potentially be denied us. I thought the Inner West was a very progressive, liberal, open-minded area. It seems I was wrong. You weren't wrong, Luke, because I'll give you a prediction. Catherine Cumming won't be the member next time round. She'll be about as popular as a three-day-old menu. There you go.
And what about the message from Graham from Brunswick? This is a very interesting perspective, actually.
You read it, Tess.
Well, Graham says, it's super ironic and disappointing that the Darren Hinch Justice Party came into existence on the back of a founder who campaigned loudly against sexual abuse of children and against the abusers. They're abusers, yes. Come 2021, here they are voting to protect abusers and against the interests of the abused, often young and fragile, by opposing the passing of the Conversion Practices Bill.
Well,
interesting perspective.
The people who were elected, they were elected on Darren Hinch's ticket. They then subsequently changed.
They did, actually.
Once they'd probably got their fob and their first, you know, pay. And the thing is, they don't represent the views of Darren Hinch, and they don't represent the voters who voted for them on the basis of that view. So, quite simply, again, those ones, I say to you, enjoy your time on the leather in the upper house, because you won't be back.
Now, Macca, we love hearing from our listeners, as
we
you
do.
Know. But am I allowed to let people know
yes.
our little secret?
Yes.
We're going to introduce Talkback.
Yes. but not...
I'm really excited
but
about
not
it.
On every segment. We will actually probably have one segment per show.
Paul's a little bit bemused by us.
because we are an interview show that will occasionally take calls. We're not a Talkback show that occasionally does interviews. So
we will have dedicated segments. We will do.
We will have, and you know, look, Tass is really looking forward to it.
Yay! People power.
I think it's great. It's like having people come to our council meeting.
Yes,
it is great.
Fantastic.
It's like getting the messages here on the screen.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so
powerful.
You
can read them out or they could call in and make the comments. It's fantastic.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with our special guest this morning, Melbourne's only but favourite Lord Mayor, Sally Capp.
Directly elected.
Directly elected.
This is democracy.
There you go, Macca. So, Sally, we want to change the topic a little bit. We were just chatting in the break there about this idea of boosting the nighttime economy and creating some infrastructure around making that happen, like having a night mayor, for example. Tell us about
not
that.
Not a bad dream, a mayor that manages the
nighttime. M-A-Y-O-R, Macca, not M-A-R-E.
We're not in the upper house having a nightmare.
We don't want a nightmare.
No,
either.
We don't.
Yeah.
Very good.
That is good. You've been working on that, haven't you?
No, you gave me a great opportunity. On Tuesday night at council, we approved putting together a nighttime advisory committee, really welcoming people from the sector and asking them to come in to be our experts. I think at a time like this when we need to do so many things to reactivate the economy and bring culture and life back into our streets, that bringing industry experts, people from the private sector, people from the community in to provide that perspective, to advise us, to present ideas and really to push us and make sure there is that focus. Our nighttime economy was the fastest nighttime economy, fastest growing nighttime economy in Australia. It's a differentiator for us, particularly vis-a-vis Sydney. It supports so many, not just artists, but you'd be surprised how many people work in the evening. And think of all of those shift workers at our hospitals, universities running classes late, all of the shows. So everything from family fun through to, I don't know, other activities that happen in the evening. The important thing is it was worth about $3.5 billion to our economy pre-COVID, and we want to put the effort in to bring that back to life.
Now, there was a little bit of hesitation there. What was that about?
Oh, well, I was just thinking, you know,
what happens
early
in the
Thursday
economy?
Morning at about 3 a.m. when I was dancing at Angel Bar, all of those things go on as well, which is good fun. So we count nighttime economy from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And there are lots of fun things that happen during that time, but we need to make sure it's safe. We want to make sure that there's a variety of options of activities for people to undertake. And the interesting thing pre-COVID, I hate the fact I have to keep saying that, was that the growth in the nighttime economy didn't come from alcohol sales.
No.
It was coming from theatre shows and people enjoying music or jazz in a little club. It was coming more from activities rather than alcohol sales, and that's a really encouraging sign.
How exciting.
Don't you think?
I do. No, look, I love, I think the whole concept of having a mayor who manage, you know, who looks after the nighttime hours of the city, I think is a great idea. Because apart from anything else, much as you'd like to, Sally, you can't do it 24 hours a day. And, you know, having a committee that feeds into that, you know, the industry and the stakeholders in the city is really important. Mm. So I think it's a great thing, and other cities around the world do it, and it works quite successfully for them. I have no issue with it, I think. And that's going to be part of the growth, you know, the regrowth and rebirth of Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit, for me, it's a little bit like you've got this fantastic set of infrastructure, you know, theatres, restaurants, cafes, bars, even, you know, amphitheatres and gardens. Why aren't they always used? You know, why is it that they have to shut down at night? The only reason they shut down is because some of us, like us, Macca, get a bit too old and just get a bit too tired to stay up all night. But there are lots of other people who are quite happy to do things at night. I mean, we used to love the what was it called? The all-night white party. Is that what it was called?
White night.
We loved
could be
white
the
night.
All-night white party.
Yeah,
white party, you're thinking of another party.
Yeah, I know. I am. You're right, Macca. That doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. But white night was always so much fun.
Yeah. This concept of a 24-hour city, I mean, that's what we should be. And in many ways, we already are, and we want to make sure that that's well supported. And I think the other thing about COVID was that we saw unprecedented levels of cooperation across government, private sector, and we want to be able to continue that, because it's going to take that concerted, combined effort to get us out of this. So knowing that we've got experts who live and work in that nighttime economy coming in to really give us the focus and the expertise and experience, I think it'll bring a sharpness and a relevance to the sorts of measures we've put in place.
I think it's great. I think it's really good because it provides everybody with a bit of an anchor and certainty around how you deal with regulations and noise control and management and opening hours and shutting, all that sort of stuff. I think it's fantastic.
Now, I've got an idea.
Oh, yeah, go for it, Backer.
Once we have a night time mayor, how about we do a Saturday magazine one night once this is established and underway?
And do a Saturday night magazine.
Saturday night magazine, and we'll speak to this night time mayor and also people that that mayor is engaging with around the city. How about we do that?
I think that sounds like a bit of fun, Macca.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Sally, a question here for you from one of our listeners. How can people have input into this committee process? Yes.
Brilliant question. So at the moment we are advertising to seek interest and applications from people who would like to be on the committee. So that'll be fabulous. I hope we are inundated. And then after that, the committee will be involved in all sorts of activities to get feedback, get ideas, bring people together, and make sure, as I said, that we're doing everything possible. At the moment, every single day and night counts for business owners and their teams, particularly if they're deciding whether to reopen again after COVID. So putting in every effort. We call it bringing back the buzz. That buzz in the evenings is terrific. Of course, the busier our streets are, the more people that are in the city at night, the safer it is as well. So there are so many other benefits that come from a very active nighttime.
Sally, speaking of the buzz, one of your former colleagues has just sent a message in and also a cheerio to you, Steve Stephanopoulos, who was the former mayor of Stonington. Steve, if you're listening, hello to you.
And hello, Steve. We chatted during the week, actually.
Ah, there you go. Sally, I wanted to just, if I can, just...
What was his message?
You gents are brave, introducing talkback. You just need to keep your finger on the mute button.
You know, Tass and I were discussing this talkback thing, and one of the suggestions came up is perhaps the talkback we have after my op-ed, that people could ring in and give us their opinion, but I tend to get feedback on...
You get it anyway.
But, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy to... I'm going to have to stop using... I've been chastised again about the use of respect with regard to the views of some opposition MPs. The challenge, Sally, I need you to think of a word for me that I can use other than acknowledge their views.
Well, really, I think what you were saying is you respect that they have a right to have a view.
Yes.
Is what you meant, I think.
Yeah, I don't respect
because we live in a democracy, exactly. Yes. So you respect the fact that they have a right to a view and that can be different to yours.
Yes, it can. Sally, I've just been reminded by Ian that we're actually going to see Paris Cat.
Good, I love Paris Cat.
Yeah, so do I.
It's the name of the venue.
That's right.
So there'll be performers safe there.
Tass might be big on humility.
Thank you, Ian.
Now, I wanted to change the subject because we haven't got much time left. Sally, because it might be a few weeks before we see you again, but what are the top two or three other big things that you're going to be grappling with this year, other than, of course, COVID, which, of course, is ever-consuming and taking everybody off? But are there other, you know, big issues that you need to counsel and you need to sort of lead and tackle this year? Mm.
Well, of course, economic revitalisation is the foundation for so many of our efforts going forward. But at the same time, you know, this is the opportunity to accelerate some of the other aspirations we've had for the city. For example, around sustainability and the environment, how can we actually bring those together to create new green jobs, new industries? There's a lot of technology. How do we actually accelerate that as an economic opportunity and achieving great outcomes for our environment? We're really keen to, and we just approved our affordable housing strategy, which is making sure that our key workers are able to live near their jobs. It's about making sure we have a diverse community creatives, for example, who have often been priced out of living in the city, can come in. It's those sorts of efforts to make sure that
this is a great opportunity to make this stuff happen, isn't it?
Exactly. This is the moment in time. So everything that goes to making Melbourne a special place, a successful city for us to be a happy and prosperous community, all of those efforts, this laser-like focus on making sure that every policy, every program, every action count is something that is a focus. Having said all of that, if we don't get the basics right, the good old roads, rates and rubbish, we don't have a mandate to step into some of those other activities, so doing the basics really well. And we have had some issues more recently in being able to deliver some of our infrastructure projects on time, on budget. So that's also going to be a big effort, because it builds confidence in the council for us to be able to do those things well. And you'll be really pleased to know, Macca, that next time I come on the show, we'll be able to talk a bit more about Green Line.
How exciting is that? You've been hanging out for that, Macca.
You know, I just, you know, I love how the council's putting in all these new bike paths, but I want Green Line.
It's coming, so that's exciting.
And Sally, we've just had another message from another one of your colleagues, the Mayor of Kingston, Steve Stakos. So cheerio to you, Steve. Lovely to hear from you.
Absolutely. Hello, Steve. We're starting a new four-year term. There's a lot of energy. We are so proud and pleased with the efforts of everybody to survive and get ourselves through that lockdown last year. We know there's still a sense of fatigue and caution out there as uncertainty continues. But Melbourne is a place where people can feel really proud, and including the sorts of decisions that were made this week. Exactly. Yeah. And we're really encouraging everybody to come in, because when you come into town and you have a meal, you buy something in the retail shops, you go and see a band at Paris Cat, all of those things mean that people are in jobs, that business owners have confidence to keep their doors open, and we need all of those businesses. They are the character and the personality of this city, and if we can get that momentum going again, then we're all going to be better off. So thanks to everyone that's already been into the city to help our local economy and our community, and to everyone out there, please think about coming into the city to support your fellow Melburnians.
Sally, thank you so much for coming in this morning. So lovely to see you.
Yes,
and you are such a great ambassador for our city. It's truly wonderful.
And we haven't talked about our sign yet.
No, so I was just about to. So, Sally, when we moved to the Pride Centre, there are two places where Joy has previously been. One was in Coventry Street in South Melbourne, above Homo Hardware, as we called it.
Homo Hardware.
And in Bourke Street here at City Village. So there are two passageways, two companionways passageways.
Two corridors.
Corridors in our Joy Studios at the Pride Centre. One of them will be called Coventry Street and the other will be called Bourke Street.
Thank you so much, Sally.
So we actually have
arranging that sign for
an official City of Melbourne sign. I didn't have to get Tass to stand on my shoulders with some spanners and
make your own. This is genuine, and we're giving it to you with much love.
Yes.
And we can't wait to see it up at the Pride.
We'll actually have a bolting on ceremony.
No, we're going to have a bolting on.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it'll be yourself and also the Mayor of Port Phillip doing Coventry Street, and you'll be doing Bourke Street. So thank you for that sign.
Well done.
Michael Strauss, our operations guy, he is beside himself, because he's been hanging out for this other sign. He's so excited. So Michael, and also our CEO, Ange, the sign is here.
It's here. Great to see you. Genuinely fabulous to be back in studio. Congratulations for keeping us all informed over the last little while, particularly, and onwards and upwards.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.